Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joins us on the hotline. Al, how are you, my friend?
Hi, guys. And I hate, you know, I think it's getting old. You guys call me up. We talk weather. Like, we should switch it up. But I cannot, after hearing that forecast and knowing that, like, I had to throw, like, a sweatshirt on today because it was a little chillier than normal. You know, we got, like, 65 here. I can't believe, like, honestly, I just saw Chicago's looking at, like, negative 40 wind chill. Like, everyone should just move out west. I think that's the solution to everyone's problems, is just because this is gorgeous today. And that's enough rubbing it in for today.
Fair enough. I'm glad you pumped the brakes when you did, my friend. And, well, I've got to ask you something about something that I was really excited about on Thursday of last week. Now, after seeing this whole thing play out, I'm a lot less excited. So I saw Jeff Bridges tweet something out. I think half the world saw it last week, showing glimpses of him. And, well, at the time, we weren't sure if it was a trailer or what it was exactly as the dude, and it mentioned more details coming on Super Bowl Sunday. We have since found out that he and Carrie Bradshaw, a.k.a. Sarah Jessica Parker, they're, you know, they're doing their thing in this Stella Artois ad on Super Sunday. Is there anything more to it than this? Should I get any more excited, or should I just kind of halt my enthusiasm knowing that the dude is not bringing a sequel to the big screen?
Can I tell you, this is legitimately my favorite day of the year to be on your radio show. This has become a tradition, if you haven't realized. This is the second year in a row you've been fooled by a Super Bowl ad.
Yep.
You got very excited last year about Danny McBride as Crocodile Dundee, and this year you're getting excited about a Lebowski sequel, which, weirdly enough, there is kind of a Lebowski sequel coming out, but it has nothing to do with the dude. It has to do with Jesus, and it's starring John Turturro, I think directed by him as well. So, yeah, no, there's no dude Lebowski sequel happening. This is – I don't even know how you got excited in the first part, because it said on the teaser the date, which was Super Bowl Sunday. I think right there you realized it was a Super Bowl ad.
Yes.
But I like how you had faith in hoping, fingers crossed, that it was more than that. But no, it's just a Super Bowl ad. And I'm like excited for next year. See what fools you next year.
Yeah, right, because it was Christopher Hemsworth and Danny McBride last year, right?
Yep.
See, you wonder, like, when they see how much enthusiasm and how much excitement comes of that, do the wheels start spinning? You think they start getting the idea maybe we should try and run with this? Or do you think they want to tap out while they're on top?
Well, I think there may have been more interest in, like, a Crocodile Dundee with Danny McBride, seeing that, like, oh, maybe this actually has some wheels. I think the Coen brothers know how huge of a deal would be, even without the commercial, if they made a Big Lebowski 2. They're not the type of guys. I don't think they've ever made a sequel. I don't think they ever will make a sequel. They're not the directors that are like, oh, this is really, let's do this again because people are getting excited for it. They only do things for themselves. I mean, not to sound selfish, but they do things that interest them, you know? And I can't see a sequel really interesting them. That being said, I'm surprised, like, because they're, you know, it was an indie film that you don't have, like, a studio pushing in, like, oh, we need to make a sequel, which is awesome. I'd hate to see a sequel of the dude, Big Lebowski. It lives in its own time, lives in its own world, and that's all we need, man. Now, if you want to do it, Jeff Bridges, John Goodman teaming up in a different movie, I'm all in. But I think I'm totally fine with there being one Big Lebowski.
Fair enough. It's been out for 20 years, so it just felt like it was time for a sequel, that they were going to make one. I saw a rumored one 6 or 7 years ago talking about how the Coen brothers, this is all garbage, but about how the Coen brothers apparently had talked with John Goodman and Jeff Bridges about making a sequel. It was about how the dude was looking for his son, and he had to use the help of not only Walter, but his long-lost brother, who ended up being Bill Murray. I thought, God, that's fantastic. And then my heart was squashed because I found out it was a garbage report. So,
dude, you fall for everything.
I do.
Well, here's the thing. You can at least look forward to in 20, 25 years for a Big Lebowski remake, you know?
Yeah.
That you can... kidding. I don't want that.
I'd be okay with it. You know why? Because it would give me a reason to watch something I know I'm going to like.
I'm with Al on this. I don't think it needs a sequel. If you do that, you could end up ruining it like they did with Dumb and Dumber.
It didn't ruin Dumb and the
Did.
It didn't. How did they ruin the original Dumb and Dumber?
I don't, because they made the second one, and then you thought, oh, it's just a money grab.
Like, I don't even think Dumb and Dumber is the best Farrelly Brothers movie ever. I think it's been tainted a little bit, but not just by the sequel, just by the time and everything. Kingpin's their best movie, but we can argue that another day.
I might agree with that.
You will not get an argument from me on that. I think Kingpin is definitely better than Dumb and Dumber.
But I feel Dumb and Dumber was up there, and then they made the sequel, and I just, Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels were so great in the original, it just was kind of ruined by the second
one. I forgot the sequel happened. I was thinking of that prequel that kind of ruined it for me.
They weren't involved with that.
But it was garbage. Yeah. But that's what I feel like. If they did a Big Lebowski sequel, it would feel like that. Or a anything like, I don't know. I'm good with the way it stands.
All right. Well, as I expected, this discussion got a lot more legs than I thought it was going to, but we'll revisit this a little bit later on. Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joins us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Hey, what do you know about Zac Efron playing Ted Bundy? I saw this report earlier today, and I'm not sure if this is new or brand new or if this has been out there for a while, but that seems like quite the transition for him.
It is. Well, I don't know. If you saw the trailer, is getting a lot of flack because it kind of paints Ted Bundy as like an anti-hero instead of the horrible, horrible serial killer he was. I think it is a little turn for Efron, but he's been kind of stepping out, taking more interesting parts. I think this can go with that. The director's like a very well-known, respected documentary filmmaker in that crime genre, so I was intrigued when I heard about this coming out, but the trailer has kind of ruined it for me, and not into this at all right now. And not only am I not into this, I'm kind of over the whole serial killer. Like, I don't know. I'm done with it. I do like the true crime or the crime, like, movies and that stuff, but I don't need to more serial killer stuff and, like, showing that side of the serial killer. I'm over it. I think we've done it to death. Supposedly Mindhunter is, like, a perfect example of it. Fincher's been doing that. I don't think we need it anymore. I'm kind of over the whole thing. So, no, I'm not excited for Efron as Ted Bundy. I am excited that he's taking more roles like this because I think he actually is a talented actor behind, like, the baby face. We've seen Robert Pattinson really do that lately of, like, really stepping out and taking some really exciting roles, and he's got this weird sci-fi movie coming out soon that I'm super into. So I'm intrigued by, but this movie I'm not in at all.
All right. Fair enough. I saw that. I just thought that might be kind of a stretch for him, but I'm sure that's something that'll pop up later on in discussion. Another promo that I see on a daily basis, it feels like, has to do with Chris Pine and his new TV series, I Am the Night, on TNT. It's going to premiere tonight. Thoughts on this new TV series?
I was kind of excited for it. The reviews weren't great. They're kind of mixed. It's the director of Wonder Woman doing the show. It's got Chris Pine. It ties in the Black Dahlia murder. It looks like it could be cool, but like I said, the reviews have been mixed. I'm still intrigued by it. I think Patty Jenkins is great, who's the director. And I like Chris Pine a lot, so we'll see. I'll give it a shot. I'll watch the pilot and see how it moves me.
Fair enough. And I've got to ask you about this before we get to your picks to click. The SAG Awards, I feel like they kind of get hidden just because it's award season, and, you know, sometimes these award shows, they just get lost in the mix. What were your major takeaways from the SAG Awards?
SAG Awards really don't do much for me. It was interesting Emily Blunt win when she was nominated for Academy Award. We should talk about the Academy Award nomination since that happened after we talked last, right? I feel like I'm more intrigued by that than the SAG Awards. But I guess Emily Blunt winning and not being nominated is kind of a big thing. I think probably the biggest takeaway is that Rami Malek won, which I told you is the one category I'm the most interested in, because I think it's between Rami Malek, Bradley Cooper, and Christian Bale, and I think it's pretty close. But Malek's won now SAG Award and Golden Globe. So, but Christian Bale won, I think, the Golden Globe for comedy. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping Bale can pull it out. I really thought Bale was fantastic as Dick Cheney, but we'll see. And that's, I think, the more exciting part. That's really the SAG Awards, to kind of see what might happen in the Academy Awards. And that right there was my biggest takeaway. Glenn Close won for The Wife again, which she also won the Golden Globe. I think she's probably the front runner, even though I think Olivia Colman can make a run at the end. But, yeah, like I said, those are the biggest takeaways I have.
We'll get into the Academy Awards in a little bit. I mean, obviously there's not enough time to do it today, but we'll get into that maybe next week or the week after. All right, Al, before we let you loose, my man, what are your picks to click for this week?
Well, there's a lot of good, like, fun popcorn movies coming out of Netflix this week. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Incredibles 2, there's another one. So catch up on those movies if you missed them in the theater. But there's also a Netflix original movie coming out on Friday. It looks weird and kind of horror-ish. It's Velvet Buzzsaw, which reteams the director and star of Nightcrawler, which I thought was a great movie and kind of underrated, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. And so Gyllenhaal is back, and this movie looks super weird. It's about, like, really how the art world, like, how people are fake in the art world and just how the art world runs. But then, like, artwork comes to life and kills people. It looks weird as heck. I'm in. It looks like fun popcorn, like weird. And it's on Netflix, so I can stay home and be terrified and laughing at the same time, which if you saw the trailer, it kind of elicits both of those. So, and like I said, if you saw Nightcrawler, Nightcrawler was fantastic. The director, whose name was Tony Gilroy, kind of, his last movie, which Roman J. Israel Esquire, I think was called, got the Denzel Washington nomination. But besides that, it really wasn't worth watching. I really didn't like that movie at all. So I'm kind of intrigued to see where he goes. Right now, the reviews have been a little more positive. Not great, but, you know, it seems like one of those movies that could be a cult movie in the future. So, yeah, I'm super excited for that. It's Velvet Buzzsaw on Friday. On Netflix. So it's good for the weekend. You want to stay home, chill, go ahead and watch that.
All right, my man. Well, next week we'll ask you about the Super Bowl commercials to see which makes the top of your list. Weird, fun, and popcorn. That's what I take away from this week for the Picks to Click. Al, we appreciate the time as always, my man. Get your sweatshirt ready because I'm sure it's going to be tough to endure those 60-degree temperatures the next few days. We'll be thinking about you when we're in the sub-zero temperature range out here.
Guys, I just unzipped my sweatshirt, and I'm walking around with a T-shirt on because that's what you do in L.A. So I think you guys should honestly do a remote in L.A. I can come live. We can do a whole 3 hours. Why not? Expense it. Come out to L.A. and do a show. I think that's the best idea, right?
Yes. I love it, man. Sounds like a wonderful idea. Thanks for the time, as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Sounds great, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Al.